We're on
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this lovely, chilly morning?
I'm doing just fine. God is good.
All the time, God is good, and I can't do nothing more than say, woo, thank you, Lord, for another day. It might be a little chilly, but I am definitely not going to throw it away. I'm grateful, thankful, and blessed to have another day with the Lord, have another day to sing his praises. Praise the Lord, somebody. Praise the Lord this morning.
Amen.
You know, I was like, we had a great day on yesterday. Our children, four out of four of our children participated with another church. And I tell you, our little people did it. They were phenomenal. They sang out. They sang on key, on point. They were awesome. And all I could say is a thank you to my daughter and godson. They were both there and supported my grandson. And so when he got finished, his dad gave him a big old hug. And I was just so proud. You couldn't tell me anything as a grandma. All I could do was give myself. I was just so happy. That's all I could say. I was just so happy. I got to do something special, call it for the four that participated. I want to take them out or do something for them when opportunity arises. Nothing else. Take them to this new gaming place out there that we have now. It's an indoor, park, I guess. I'm not exactly sure because I haven't been there, but my grandkids have, so I'm going to have to get some recognizance on the place, but do something special for our children. Just excited. They were great. Shout out this morning to Lady T. Doss, Mother Doss. It is her birthday, and the vision of him was hymns for him was her vision that God gave her. And it was awesome. We as people of God forget how important hymns are. We know that hymns come from the Word of God. Most hymns you can go and back up with Scripture. God is amazing. You know, I'm just in awe. That's all I can say. It was wonderful, and I tell you, I was like, well, you'd have thought I was in practice, too, because I just knew, seemed to know just where to go and what to sing, and so just excited. It's all about him. That's it. Thank you, Pastor Jackson. It's all about him, and it was about him. It was wonderful. My pastor even did the prayers yesterday. She opened in prayer. She prayed over the offering. It was just great. And the participation of our children touched my heart. So I'm still filled up. I got filled up yesterday. It was wonderful. You know, when they sang Amazing Grace, that just, yeah, I love Amazing Grace. And the blood. That song, Oh, the Blood of Jesus, and then she went into The Blood Still Has Miraculous Power, and that song does something to my spirit. I love that song, to know that the blood of Jesus reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. That does something to my spirit. it takes me there. And I'm getting all filled up just thinking of those words, because God has given us so much, and he has given us his son. And this is the word that God gave me. And it says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. God is watching us. You know how we tease our children, I got my eyes on you. You know, God has his eyes on us. God sees everything we do. He sees us in our waking up. He sees us in our going to sleep. He sees us in our dreams. He sees everything. He knows when we are a mess. He knows when we're being messy. He knows that when that mess is going to come into a message. He knows everything, that test is going to come into a testimony. God loves us, but he has his eyes on us. We got to trust him. We got to believe that he can and that he will. Lift us up, take the highest heights to deeper depths. And we got to pray. And we got to pray without ceasing, believing that God can and will watch over us. So I thank God for my early morning. Wow, got a revelation, and I'm grateful for it. So I thank God this morning for just waking me up. But we got some word today, and we are still in the book of Ezekiel. Who is, Mother, is Ezekiel all that handsome?
And a bag of chips.
Ezekiel, you better say something. That's Ezekiel. He is. He done told us about the building of the temple, which I believe we're going to be talking about a little bit more today. He done. Now, all I can say with this man, how many of us could lay on our side for a whole year, laid on his side, had to eat with his side? I mean, this man went through some stuff, but Israel had to build a clay city, tear it up, trying to get their attention. Then, wait a minute, the wheel in the middle of the wheel saw the angels of heaven, saw the throne of God. Come on. All that. Ezekiel.
Amen.
Was, you better listen, because I say Ezekiel was speaking today, the things he was saying about Israel are the things that we see today. I'm like, this prophet is a today prophet. When you have an opportunity, if you don't listen to us on a regular basis, read Ezekiel. It will enlighten you. Am I right, Mother? Ezekiel will enlighten you.
Amen.
It is. Whew. And then today we're also in the 100 verses 1 through 7. Our proverb this morning is the 29th proverb, verse 8. Ooh, yes, it's an ouch one for some folks, I'm sure. And I will be coming in 1 Peter chapter 3. And that is where our title is coming from today, is 1 Peter chapter 3. So get your Bibles, because one thing this is Bible study. Mother Valerie will be reading this morning Ezekiel chapter 45 and 46, and she will also be reading the 135th Psalm, verses 1 through 7. So get your Bibles out. It's time to start Bible study. I'm ready to move forward in the Word of God. Mother Valerie, open us in prayer this morning.
Father God, in Jesus' name, you did it again. You gave us the sunrise. You woke us up. The clock, like I say, the clock don't wake you up. God wakes you up. And you did it again. Thank you, Father, for this day. This is the day that you made. And our pastor said we need to be joyful. We need to be thankful. We need to show gratitude for waking up. He woke us up again. He did it again. He did it again. And, Lord, I thank you. I give you praise, honor, and glory. The temperature is 23 degrees. 23. It's cold outside, but it's warm inside. And thank you, Father, for giving us a place, food, shelter. If you don't have to go out, then don't go. But if you have to go out with God's grace. And we praise you, Lord, for another day. In Jesus' name, amen. Ezekiel 45 and 1. Moreover, when you divide the land by lot into inheritance, you should set apart a district for the Lord, holy section of the land. Its length should be 25,000 cubits and the width 10,000. It should be holy throughout its territory all around. Of this, there should be a square plot for the sanctuary, 500 by 500 rods with 50 cubits around it for an open space. So this is the district you should measure, 25,000 cubits long and 10,000 wide. It should be a sanctuary, the most holy place. It should be a holy section of the land belonging to the priests, the ministers of the sanctuary, who come near to minister to the Lord. It should be a place for their houses, holy place for the sanctuary. An area of 25,000 cubits long and 10,000 wide shall belong to the Levites, the ministers of the temple. They shall have 20 chambers as a possession. You shall appoint as the property of the city an area 5,000 cubits wide, 25,000 long, adjacent to the district of the holy section. It should belong to the whole house of Israel. Prince should have a section on one side and the other, the holy district and the city's property, bordering on the holy district and the city's property, extending westward on the west side, eastward on the east side. The land shall be side by side with one of the tribal portions, from the west border to the east border. The land shall be his possession in Israel. And my prince shall no more oppress my people, but they should give the rest of the land to the house of Israel according to their tribes. Thus says the Lord God. Enough, O prince of Israel. Remove violence and plundering, executing judgment and righteousness, and stop depossessing my people, says the Lord God. You should have honest scale and an honest ephor and an honest bath. The ephor and the bath should be the same measure, so that the bath contains one-tenth of a homer, and the ephor one-tenth of a homer. Their measure shall be according to the homer. The shekel shall be 20 gerahs, 30 shillings, 25 shekels, and 15 shekels shall be your mina. This is the offering which you shall offer. You shall give one-sixth of an ephor from a homer of wheat, one-sixth of ephor from a homer of barley. The ordinance concerning the oil, the bath of oil, is the one-tenth of a bath from a core. A core is a homer of 10 baths, or 10 baths or a homer. One lamb shall be given from a flock of 200 from the rich pasture of Israel. These shall be a grain offering, burnt offering, peace offering to make atonement for them, says the Lord God. All the people of the land shall give this offering for the prince in Israel. Then it shall be the prince's part to give burnt offerings, grain offerings, drink offerings. At the feast of the new moons, the Sabbath, and at all the appointed season of the house of Israel, he shall prepare the sin offering, grain offering, burnt offering, peace offering, to make atonement for the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, in the first month, on the first day of the month, you should take a young bull without blemish. Cleanse the sanctuary. Priests should take some of the blood of the sin offering, put it on the doorposts of the temple, on the four corners of the ledge of that altar, and on the goalposts of the gate of the inner court. And so you shall do on the seventh day of the month for everyone who has sinned unintentionally or in ignorance. Thus you shall make atonement for the temple. Our pastor teaches us to pray that if we have sinned intentionally or unintentionally, Lord, forgive us. Because sometimes you know exactly what you're doing, and you do it anyway, and you know it's a sin. It said, who have sinned unintentionally or in ignorance, thus you shall make atonement for the temple. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, you should observe the Passover, a feast of the 7 days. Unleavened bread shall be eaten. And on that day, the prince shall prepare for himself, for all the people of the land, a bull for sin offering. On the 7th day of the feast, he shall prepare a burnt offering to the Lord, 7 bulls, 7 rams without blemish, daily for 7 days, and a kid of the goat daily for a sin offering. He shall prepare a grain offering of 1 ephah, and each bull and 1 ephah for each ram, together with the hin of oil for each ephah. In the 7th month, on the 15th day of the month, at the feast, he shall do likewise for 7 days, according to the sin offering, the burnt offering, the grain offering, and the oil. 46. Thus says the Lord God, the gateway of the inner court that faces toward the east shall be shut for 6 working days. But on the Sabbath, which is Saturday, I'm saying the Sabbath is Saturday, and the Bible do say the Sabbath is a Saturday. It shall be set on east, shall be set to 6 working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be open. And on the day of the new moon it shall be open. Prince shall enter by way of the vestibule of the gateway from the outside, stand by the gatepost. Priest shall prepare his burnt offering, peace offering. He shall worship at the threshold of the gate. Then he shall go out, but the gate shall not be shut until evening. Likewise, the people of the land shall worship at the entrance to this gateway before the Lord on the Sabbath and the new moon. Burnt offering that the prince offers to the Lord on the Sabbath day shall be 6 lambs without blemish, and a ram without blemish, and the grain offering shall be 1 ephah for a ram, grain offering for the lambs, as much as he wants to give, as well as a hin of oil with every ephah. On the day of the new moon, it shall be a young bull without blemish, 6 lambs and a ram. They shall be without blemish. He shall prepare a grain offering of an ephah for a bull, on the ephah for a ram, as much as he wants to give for the lambs, with the hin of oil with every ephah. When the prince enters, he shall go in by the way of the vestibule of the gateway and go out the same way. But when the people of the land come before the Lord on the appointed feast days, whoever enters by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out the way of the south gate. Whoever enters by the way of the south gate shall go out by the way of the north gate. God has a certain way of doing things, and he wants you to do it his way, not your way. He shall not return by the way of the gate through which he came, but shall go out through the opposite gate. The prince shall then be in their midst. When they go in, he shall go in, and when they go out, he shall go out. All the festivals and the appointed feast days, grain offering shall be an ephah for a bull, ephah for a ram, as much as he wants to give for the lambs, and a hin of oil with every ephah. But when the prince makes a voluntary burnt offering, or voluntary peace offering to the Lord, the gate that faces toward the east shall then be opened for him, and he shall prepare his burnt offering, peace offering, as he did on the Sabbath day. Then he shall go out. After he goes out, the gate shall be shut. You shall daily make burnt offerings to the Lord of a lamb of the first year without blemish. You shall prepare it every morning. You should prepare a grain offering with every morning, a sixth of an ephah and a third of a hin of oil to moisten the fine flour. This grain offering is perpetually ordinance to be made regularly to the Lord. Thus they should prepare the lamb, grain offering, and the oil of a regular burnt offering every morning. Thus says the Lord God. If the prince give a gift of some of his inheritance to any of his sons, it shall belong to his son. It is their possession by inheritance. But if he gives a gift of some of his inheritance, one of his servants, it shall be his until the year of liberty, after which it shall return to the prince. But his inheritance shall belong to his son. It shall become theirs. Moreover, the prince shall not take any of the people's inheritance by evicting them from their property. he should provide an inheritance for his sons from his own property, so that none of my people may be scattered from his property. Now he brought me through the entrance, which was at the side of the gate, into the holy chambers of the priests, which faced toward the north. And there a place was situated at the extreme western end, said to me, this is the place where the priests shall boil the trespass offering, sin offerings, or they shall bake grain offerings, so that they do not bring them out into the outer court to sanctify the people. And then he brought me out of the outer court, caused me to pass by the four corners of the court. And in fact, in every corner of the court, there was another court. In the four corners of the court were enclosed courts, 40 cubits long and 30 wide. All four corners were the same size. There was a row of building stones all around in them. All around the four of them, the cooking hearts were made under the rows of stones all around. And he said to me, these are the kitchens where the ministers of the temple shall boil the sacrifice of the people. God wants you to do things his way, not your way. Psalms 135. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, O you servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant. Sing praises to the Lord, for the Lord is good. And praises go up, blessing comes down. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his special treasure. And they always tell us to keep our eye on Israel. And right now, Israel is going through some stuff. We're to keep our eye on Israel, Israel for his special treasure. For I know that the Lord is great. I know. You cannot tell me anything different. I'm 80 years old. I know. I know that the Lord is great. And our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in the earth. In heaven and in the earth, in the sea and in all the deep places, cause the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasure. The Lord rides on the wings of the wind. God is a good God. And when it's windy, he's riding on the wings of the wind. For the Lord is good. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant. Praise the Lord, saints. Just praise the Lord. Be grateful that he woke you up. Be grateful that you can walk, that you can talk, that you can brush your teeth. Some people can't do all that. We take things for granted. We take washing our face, getting out of bed, drinking warm tea or coffee. We do this every single day, so we take it for granted. Sometimes we're not grateful that we can walk. We're not grateful that we have a coat, a heavy coat to wrap around us when it's cold. We take it for granted because we can do it. And we've been doing this for what? Me? 80 years. And we forget sometimes that other people cannot walk. Other people cannot talk. We just forget and we take things for granted and we're not grateful. And they set aside a day of thanksgiving. Just give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. Be grateful for all that you can do and be grateful for all that the Lord has done. Will do and will continue to do until it's time of the rapture, until we get out of here. Just remember, be grateful be thankful. And that's what Pastor Jess's message was. Be thankful and give God praise and just be thankful that you even have family to come around you on Thanksgiving Day and other days. Be grateful that you are a grandparent. Be grateful. You know, a man was talking about if he lost his children and he lost his wife, and if he lost God, well, he said God first, if he lost his salvation, and if he lost his wife and his children, he said he done lost everything, everything. And he said, what would you give to get those things back? What would you give when you don't lost everything? And he said, you would give everything to have your salvation back, your wife, and your children. You would give everything. He said you would even kill if they told you to shoot down 10 other people. He said you would do it. If it meant, really meant that you would get your family, your salvation back, he said you would do anything. He said, so be grateful that you have everything. And then he was talking about one lady said, well, my husband have died. And he said, but ma'am, you still have everything because you have your salvation. God is everything. He said, you still have your salvation. And he said, God would wrap his arms around you. You still have everything. Even though your husband is gone, you still have everything because you have God. He was saying, you know, what if God was angry with you and you don't have God? So you still have everything. You have everything. Everything to be grateful for. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget. We have everything.
Yeah, awesome. Have everything. We've spoken this before, that you can't take anything with you. You look around and you see overflow. You see stuff that you have. Understand, you can't take the pictures with you. You can't take your plants with you. You can't take your cars, your houses, or any other stuff that you might have. You cannot take them with you. The only thing that's going with you, this body even, is not going with you. The
Amen.
Only thing that goes with you is your spirit, and it's your spirit right with God. That's why when Mother was talking about the man, one that would do anything for God and the salvation, you want to be saved, set free, filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when you got the Holy Spirit absent from the body in the presence of the Lord, that's why you don't worry about your relatives that go before you, especially if they knew the Lord. It just does something to your spirit. You know, I have notebooks, and I just happened to come across one, and it was some words that were written by my deceased husband. You know, when you are sick, people don't realize, you know, when you are ill, that illness feels like you are being chased. And the words that he wrote was, the devil's got a hold on me. And I read it, and I did cry when I first read it. But then I realized this is what he said. He says, I'm in my room sitting on the floor. I'm in a world of hurt. I don't want to hurt no more. I'm free and like outside is far away. I'm feeling like life outside is far away because pain tells me it's here to stay. And again, my husband was he was a diabetic. And he was in pain quite frequently. He had also issues with his intestines. And he said, I paid my dues. I shouldn't have to deal. But what's wrong with me is for real. He said, free my problems, free my pain. Satan has no soul to gain. Lord, I'm asking you to take control of my soul. And that was some of the last words that he wrote. Lord, I'm asking you to take control of my soul. That touched my heart because it let me know that he was having a conversation with God. And when he said, free my problems, free my pain, Satan has no fault again. Lord, I'm asking you to take control of my soul. And that's what we have to do daily, ask God to take control of our soul. Satan has no soul to gain because we give our soul to God because it's the only thing we can take with us. And so I thought, wow, he preached the word before he left this world, you know, to let us know when you give it to God, God takes control. And by finding this, these lyrics, because he was a lyricist and a psalmist, it touched my heart because I knew at that moment he prayed and that he prayed in the way he could with words. You know, the devil might try to have a hold on us, but God is the one that's in charge. And as we go to Proverbs 29:8, it says, scoffers set a city aflame, but wise men turn away wrath. What we talk about, that flame is that little thing behind your teeth called a tongue, which can set a fire for good or a fire for bad. God does not play. God is good all the time. Put that tongue back behind that tooth, behind them teeth, behind whatever, behind them gums, whatever you got, God will stick that tongue right behind it because God is not going to allow one fiery tongue to set a flame in the midst of his people. One person can wreck a mess. They can create a mess, and it's not a message. It's a fire that destroys people's souls. You know, we talked about accountability on yesterday. We are accountable for the souls that get lost because of us. You know, we talked on yesterday about pastors and ministers and priests is what he talked about. He says, therefore, land aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, and this is 1 Peter chapter 2, envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babies desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that, the Lord is gracious. We got to understand. We got to grow up. We can't have milk forever. We got to grow up to some meat. We got to grow up to some bread. We got to grow up to the oatmeal. You know, when you put a little oatmeal baby's formula, they start to eat, they like yum it up because they feel like, ooh, I'm getting some more stuff. That little wheat that you can put in that's real thin that can go in that formula, they start getting a little bit more sustenance and they start getting a little bit bigger. And then you start giving them, introducing the food, those little jars of baby food, which I have to say, some of them are really good because I've tasted and seen that baby food is good. But I tell you, you know, that fruit is real good, but I digress. But the baby starts to eating the baby food, and then from the baby food, they start going into the table food. And before long, they're able to eat meat. They're able to eat whatever you're eating, because they grow, and that's what we have to do. We have to, as the Word of God, we've got to grow in the Word. We can't be on milk forever. We can't be those folks that go in, and then by the time you walk out the door, you done lost everything that you had. You're like, oh, yeah, pastor preached today. But then when somebody say, but what they say? You can't remember. Can't remember a thing. Can't remember the Word. Can't remember what's preached. Can't remember where it came from. Can't remember nothing. Didn't write it down. Just listen and let it go. In and out. But we have to hold on to that word of thanksgiving. We got to be grateful for what we have from God. We got to trust him. And this is what the word says. And I know this is like that controversial word for the new women out there. You know, I'm a woman. I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in the pan, but never let you forget that I know you're the man. But, you know, some women, they want to fry it up in the pan. They want to be the man. But that's not what God says. God says, likewise, be submissive to your own husband. But note, it said to your own husband. It didn't say to your boy, to your friend, to your dead partner, your significant other. It says your own husband. In other words, your mate, the one that God gave you, the one that he found you to be a good thing. That's who God is talking about in this word. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husband, that even if some do not obey the word, they withhold a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. Your hubby may not go to church, but he's a good man. He takes care of you. He loves God. He just can't do the church thing. Had to find that out. My husband got disconcerted with church. And this is a man, we went to church every Sunday. And then something happened. As you know, folks want to call it church hurt. But it's not church hurt, it's people hurt. When people hurt your feelings, it can sometimes take you down to the bottom where you just don't feel like being bothered. And that's not right. But that's why we have to be so careful of this little thing behind our teeth. You may impact somebody's soul, somebody's salvation. Luckily, we still had church. We just had it together at our home. But that still wasn't right. But I tell you this. This is what it says, but I knew he loved God. And show me he loved God. It says, and when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on the fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. And I tell you, when you hear your husband tell you, I love you, it does something to your spirit. And that's what you miss the most, is the I love you and the hug. You know, a good husband hugging, there's nothing like it. But again, you got to have a husband where you're equally yoked, a husband that loves the Lord, a husband that loves you, a husband that will take care of his family, not one that's beating you from Monday to Sunday. That's not the one that God is talking about. Be submissive to. It's not your bae that's not your husband. It's just somebody that you're shacking up with. That's not who God is talking about. God wants us to live a right and righteous life as women of God so that we get that godly husband. And it says, for in this manner, in for former times, the holy woman who trusted in God also adorned themselves being submissive to their own, I say it again, own husbands. Not me and Mrs. Jones got a thing going on. That's not who we're talking about. It's a husband, but it's not your husband. It's a wife, but it's not your wife. That's not the ones God is talking about to be submissive to. And he says, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. But then God gives, through Peter, an edit for husbands too. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Pray together. That's what's going on so many times. Husbands and wives don't pray with each other anymore. My husband and I, 32 years of marriage, we prayed together every night. Even when he was out of town, he would call me. And we would pray before we went to bed. In Alaska, he called to pray before we went to bed. We got to pray the night before he died. We prayed the Lord's Prayer before we went to bed. That was his last prayer, was the Lord's Prayer. And it was hard because when you pray that prayer from your heart and you hear, "Thy will be done," we better accept it, because God's will is not always our own. But you still got to have a husband that you can pray with. You got to have a wife you can pray with. don't play with God. But all through, it says your own. You can't be slipping and dipping and diving. You got to be living right and righteous with the one husband that God gives you. And then if God, if you're blessed to be a widow and you get another husband, he should be a godly man first and foremost. And not godly on the outside, but a holy terror on the inside. God should give you your husband. It may take some years. It may take some years before God sends the one for you. But you got to wait on God. And I'm saying this to my unmarried sisters out there. I'm waiting on God. If it's God's will, so be it. If it's not, so be it. Because God is in charge of my life. And that's what we have to do. Give it to God and let God send the one that will find you a good. We cannot be slipping, dipping, and diving in the meantime. Be the woman of God always in your walk, in your talk, and how you act. And God will send the one for you. And it says this, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. But he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his, there it is, that tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Come on now. And his ears are open to the prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. God wants us to be good. He wants us to be kind. He wants us to be loving. He wants us to keep this little membrane behind our teeth. If you can't say something good, don't say nothing at all. And I'm speaking this for myself and for every, we are Christians have got to learn to lift up and not tear down.
Amen.
When somebody says something, lift up. When somebody lift up, God is, and it says, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Believe me, been talked about, lied on, treated like something else. Come on now, I'm just being honest. You know, went from the executive office to the basement on my job because of a lie. But you know what? I still went every day because my pay didn't change. The only thing changed was my wardrobe. And it was all right with me because I knew that regardless, God was on my side. And so when I left work, when I was able to retire, the enemy thought, oh, I'm going to fire you. Because you got a new governor, and you in the basement. Fine, fine with it, because I wasn't going to quit, because God had given me the job, God had put me there, and it was for a reason. And then when I found out, okay, God, you put me here for these inmate families. You put me here for those grandmothers and those aunties and those uncles that are calling because stuff is going on with their family. That's why I'm here. I'm fine with this. Because I'm where God put me for that season. And when I left, and it's so awesome how God will do things, because when somebody means for evil, God will flip the script, because all my go-tos, the folks that I trusted the most in my executive position, all of them came with me to the basement. Come on now. Every one of them, my go-tos, came with me to the basement. My last day on my job, they threw me a retirement party. That's how God will work. And every time we see each other, it's like we just saw each other yesterday. That's how God will work for you. Don't worry about what he said, she said, they said, woo-woo say, because you're going to be happy because God blessed you. And then when I walked out the door, went to retirement, they said, oh, you good. You could have retired 2 years ago. Come on now. Look at God. Won't he do it? And then my insurance wound up being better than it would have been had I waited until I was 62 retired. I'm good. God is good. Income went up. Come on now. God will walk it out. He will work it out. Jesus will work it out. When they say that problem that I had that I couldn't seem to solve, God worked it out. He works it out for us. Don't worry about what evildoers do. Don't worry about them defaming you. Don't worry about folks talking about your church. Don't worry about people talking about your pastor, because you know your pastor is covered by the blood of Jesus because they're covered by prayers. Don't worry about what they say about your deacons, because your deacons are covered by prayers and covered by the blood of Jesus. You pray over your church. You pray over your church members. You pray over your family. Don't worry about what he said, she said, they said, because they don't know you. They only going by hearsay. Let them come in and then see what you can do and what you have done, because God is in charge of your life. And as I'm, oh, Lord, thank you. And it says, for it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Come on now. For Christ, who suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. What? God is scattered. And when we come to that understanding and realization, we don't worry about what anybody's saying. That evil little tongue, it can do whatever it wants to do, but we know that God will cut it off. Don't worry about it. Let it go. Shake it off. Keep moving. And it says, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls. Now, that's what we got. You hear folks say, well, how do you know it was just 8? Because, you know, it could have been, the boys could have had more than one wife, and, you know, Noah could have had more than one wife. And so it might have been 15 or 20 that got on the ark. How do you know it was 8? Because the word of God says so. And I'm going to trust the word of God. Because these are the folks that was living. These are the folks that have been the progeny, as they say, the descendants, that, you know, because they believed in genealogy. So I believe in that Peter probably knows more than I do, because he walked with Jesus. And I'm sure that he knows, because there's things that they know that was not necessarily written in the book. So if he said 8, I'm believing 8 because he was with Jesus. And Jesus is the word, and the word was with God. So I'm believing that he would probably know. And so he said in the word of God, Peter did, that 8 souls were saved through water, which lets us know we are family. And that's what we need to come to the realization. We are family. We are the descendants of Noah and his family. Whichever one you came from, you're still family. And we need to stop with the family feud. We need to stop. I don't like you because you're lighter than me. I don't like you because your eyes are different than mine. I don't like you because your hair is different than mine. I don't like you because, no, that's not godly. We're family. All this fighting in Israel and in Gaza and Palestine, it's foolishness because you're family. Stop it. All the fighting that's going on in Russia and Ukraine, you're family. Stop it. All the hate and bigotry going on in the United States because I'm black and you're white, you hate me. Stop it. We're family. Because underneath all this skin that's on the outside, we all bleed the same blood. We all have the same veins and the same membranes and the same everything. We're family. We all have the DNA of Noah and his family. We're family. We need to stop the foolishness. God is not pleased with all of this foolishness, and that's what it is. I love my brothers and sisters, and I don't care what they look like, because they're still my family. And we got to cut it out. All this foolishness over political parties and all of that is nonsense, and it's all a trick of the enemy to keep us underwater. God wants us to swim. God wants us to get on the boat. God wants us to be ready when Jesus comes, and that comes from love. And he says there is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Thanking God for my pastor. When I got called, I couldn't get in the water. I mean, I couldn't get into the pulpit because my soul wouldn't let me until I went in the water. I had to let go of some stuff. And the date that God chose for me to be baptized just happened to be a Wednesday, which is when my pastor does baptism. And it was my husband's birthday, September the 12th. He would have been turning 58. And all I could think of, wow, grace and new beginnings. And that's what God gave me, grace and new beginnings. I couldn't believe it. That's what God did. 2012 is when I was baptized. Grace and new beginnings. Because God said it's time to let go. Let go. You got to go in the water. You got to die to flesh so you can rise again, so you can preach my word. Because until you go into that water, I had never been baptized. I'd been sprinkled. You know, I thought I had been sprinkled, so I was good. I was 9 years old, though. But as an adult, I had not accepted the baptism. So I'm grateful for going into that water. And my sons told me, Mom, you were glowing. I was so filled up because I knew that I had to die to flesh to do what I needed to do for God. So I tell you, you're not too old to be baptized. And it says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers have been made subject to him. We are children of God. We are blessed beyond measure. And as we go back into 1 Peter, it says, chapter 3, verse 4, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. What would happen in our spiritual lives if we spent as much time working on our souls as we do on our bodies? Our bodies are not unimportant, but they will die. Our souls, however, will live forever. Only thing you can take with you. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife, that your prayers may not be hindered. When a man who finds a wife finds a good thing and finds favor with the Lord. Favor comes from finding your good thing to the men that are listening out there. If you are unmarried, find your good thing. You will find you will have even more favor with God. And it says, why would failing to make the effort to understand and honor his wife hinder a husband's prayers? All believers, men and women, are co-heirs of God's promises, and he wants us to treat each other as we would treat him. Woo! Lord, thank you. And
amen.
Verse 15, always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. If someone were to ask you today why you are a Christian, what would you say? How would you answer someone who said there are many ways to God? Come on now. We done heard that one. How would you defend your belief in the resurrection of Christ? Be ready to defend your faith. Be ready to tell folks, I'm saved, set free, filled with the Holy Spirit. I know. I don't believe in vain. I know that Jesus died for me. I know that he saved my soul. I know that he has saved my life more than once. I know because God told me so. Hallelujah. We got to know who we belong to. Do you belong to the world or do you belong to Jesus Christ? Trust the Lord in everything and watch him work in your life. And as it goes in a life question to Dr. Stanley Davis this morning, it says, does it matter what you believe? Yes, it does. And he says, when the Apostle Peter wrote to the believers scattered throughout Asia Minor, the persecution of Christians was intensifying. He realized that believers needed to stand strong in their faith. So he instructed them, do not be afraid of what of their threats, not be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Everyone needs faith during times of adversity and hardship, whether the trouble be persecution from a political body, a natural disaster, or interpersonal conflict. It is important to know what you believe so that you can remain strong. When you trust in Christ, you have placed your faith in him who has overcome the world. Yet if you do not have confidence that Christ's salvation is sure, what guarantee do you have? Malcolm Muggeridge wrote, it is often supposed that when people stop believing in God, they believe in nothing. Alas, it is worse than that. When they stop believing in God, they believe in anything. Come on now. You think he was preaching today. It is important to know what you believe about Jesus so that you can stand firm in adversity. But it is also important because belief in Christ keeps you from placing your faith in that which does not satisfy and cannot save. As the early believers trusted Christ through the persecution, so can you. And together with them, you will find the reward, your faith. There's that word, that action word. In prison and in chains, the Apostle Paul faced the possibility that he would not live to see one more day. Yet his faith remained strong. Though his future appeared bleak, Paul knew that he had a guarantee in Christ, which was the hope of heaven. Praise the Lord. That's what we all have, the hope of heaven. And it says in 2 Timothy, Paul courageously proclaimed, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. When you know in whom you have placed your faith, you realize that he never forsakes you. Rather, he prepares that which is greater than you can reconceive. He has made a covenant with all who believe in Jesus Christ. That covenant is that Jesus is your eternal priest. The Holy Spirit is your enduring guarantee of your inheritance in heaven. 10 and 23 admonishes, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. How easy it is to throw away your faith when it seems like God has abandoned you and your circumstances are more than you can bear. Yet it is precisely in the darkest moments of your life when faith in God is crucial. The next time you face devastating difficulties, remember that Christ will never forget the promise he made to save you. Clutch your faith in him. And with both hands, he is faithful, and you will not be disappointed. As my husband wrote in his word, his last letter to God, free my problems, fear my pain. Satan has no soul to gain. Lord, I'm asking you to take control of my soul. We got to have faith in God and give it to God. And a word from my sister in Christ this morning, Sister Carolyn. And she's all up in it. God, the author and finisher of our faith, rest assured that he will complete what he has started with you. Have a motivated Monday, family. And all I can say is thank you, Sister Carolyn. As always, all up in the word. That's when you know God is in charge of everything. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. And I thank all of you for listening in this morning. If there's anybody that has a quick word, now's the time to push that one on your phone. If not, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent. One from each other in Jesus' precious and holy and divine name. I pray over you and yours today that God will bless you exponentially, that everything you're hoping for and praying for, God will bring into your view, God will bring into your life. God will bring into your heart. God will bring into your mind and to your soul. Trust God that all is well and that he is working in your life. Father God, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the faith that you give us, God. Satan has no souls to gain here today. But we are all children of God, and we give and put our hope in you, Father God. Cover us from the crowns of our heads to the soles of our feet, that wherever we tread, wherever we drive, wherever we go, you are with us, God. We thank you for this day that you have made. We are rejoicing and glad in it. We are thankful, grateful, and blessed to know that we are covered by the blood of Jesus. Have a great day, family. We have one caller, and then it is a wrap. 6962, your line is open.
Yes, this is Evangelist Teresa. I want to piggyback on your word of thankfulness, because God said in his word, be ye thankful, for God has us. You know, God said, you didn't wake yourself up. You didn't close yourself. We can do nothing without him. We need to stop, pray, and think about what God would have us do today. And be thankful that we're among the living. There are those family members didn't wake up. There are those in hospitals and ICUs, babies coming in the world. We have to be that village, he said. We have to be thankful and grateful that he's in our lives. And if he's not in your life, stop right now, call someone or look in the Word and declare Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Today is the day we should hearken unto him.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Good Bridget. Great
good
word.
Morning, Pastor Jesse. How are you?
I am good. Great word. Great word from you and Minister Valerie. Keep up the good work. Awesome word.
Yes. We appreciate you listening in. For those that don't know, this is my pastor, Pastor Jesse Herring, Table of Life Ministries. If you are in the Springfield surrounding area and you do not have a church home, come visit us at Table of Life at 2600 South 5th Street. In Springfield, Illinois, where you will find love, peace, and
love,
and a pastor,
and love,
and joy,
yes,
and a pastor
love,
who is not only preaches the word, but lives the word. So thank
Amen.
You, God, for this mighty woman of God. And we thank you, Pastor Jesse, for supporting us this morning. For we know that we are setting under leadership that believes
Amen.
In God and don't just preach the word, but teach the word. And live the word. And we are appreciative of you. So thank you so much this morning for listening in and being with us. And family, I got to go to work, so I have to say it's a wrap. So
it's
I love
a wrap.
Be blessed. So all together, family, what is it? It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
And for that, for those that don't know, it is because we are willing, ready, available, and present and praying for each and every one of you. If you need prayer, call in. If whatever you need, you can DM us. We will pray for you. We will, you know, listen to you. You know, you can reach me on YouTube at Minister_BTalksWord, as well as on Twitter. You can reach me there. So call me, text me, DM me. You know, always willing, ready to pray for you, always. So keep up. Keep believing, keep trusting, and this is the day that we got calls coming in. 7959, your line is open.
I just wanted to say, even though I'm in Wichita, Pastor Jesse is still my pastor. Hallelujah. She don't just preach it, but she applies it, she lives it, and she walks the basic information before leaving earth. The
biblical
journey
education.
Amen. Love you all.
Look at God. We love you too, Pastor Jesse. And we thank God for you. Like I said, when you talk about somebody giving the clothes off their back, this is that person. Believe me, I have a dress. Thank you, Lord. So, Pastor Jesse, again, thank you.
And I got one of her too. God told her to give me the best.
Come on
and
now.
Way in with
come
you.
On.
And
I'll feel good. Come on.
Hallelujah.
All right. Can't thank God enough. Hallelujah.
Glory
but again, I got to go to work, family, so I got to let y'all
amen.
Go.
Love you.
Thank
amen.
You so much, everyone
love
that's listening.
You.
As you can
love
see,
you.
We love
yes.
each other.
Mother.
We have
God.
Laughter. We have peace.
Thank
we have
you,
joy.
Santa.
And I was
you,
just saying,
so
thanking God for who he is.
Amen.
So thank you all.
Amen.
Be blessed. Have a great day. Stay warm because it is extremely cold where we are today. It's like about 20-something, and it's not going to get any higher to about 35. So get warm, stay warm,
amen.
Stay warm in heart, and allow God to use you for whatever he has for you, because what God has for you is for you
beautiful.
And anybody.
Thank
take
you.
It away. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Be blessed. It's a wrap,
amen.
Y'all. This time it's official. Our fifth and final question. It is a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Till tomorrow, God willing.
That's right, 7 a.m., God willing.